a sneak preview of Trudy's talk. She emailed Joe a few of her ideas, so I know what's coming this morning. And I know it's very, very good. And I think that it could actually affect our lives a huge amount. In fact, I believe that on the subject of faithfulness, that if we really took to heart some of the things that Trudy's going to share, it could transform church life. It really could do. It's a very important subject. And so I'm praying for myself that my heart will be open to learn new things and for God to speak to us. You know, our hearts are quite hard very often, aren't they? And that stops us receiving the truth, either because we think we know it or we're just kind of numb inside. But God wants our hearts to be really soft, doesn't he? So that we can receive his truth and humble before his word to learn something new. So who wants to learn something new this morning? Yeah? Let's pray. Let's really open our hearts to God. Father, we are so excited to be in your presence this morning, in the presence of a wonderful, living and faithful God. We thank you, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit here today, because he wants to speak to us. And we thank you that the word of a king is with power. And when you speak, you change our hearts, Lord. And Father, we want to open up our hearts to you this morning. We just want to lift up our hearts to you today, Lord, and ask that you would soften our hearts. Let your rain fall on our hearts and let them be soft and humble before you this morning. That we may tremble at your word, Lord. That we might receive what you have to say to us this morning. Father, we ask that you would take your word and bring it personally to our hearts, Lord, the things that we individually need to hear from you today. We just open ourselves to your spirit, Lord, and thank you for being here this morning. Amen.
When I first began going out with Bob, who is now my husband, for those that don't know us, sorry, I felt safe. I was a new Christian, so I didn't know much about God's character. But looking back, I can understand why. He had Jesus' traits. I knew he was faithful. What he said and did could be trusted. I instinctively knew that he wouldn't mess me about, like I'd had experiences with other people before I became a Christian. If he said he'd meet me at 6 p.m, I wouldn't be standing there at 6:30 or even 7 wondering whether he was going to turn up or not. I knew he wouldn't let me down. The fruit of the Spirit I'm talking about today is faithfulness, as Nick said. It's the character of God that he produces in us. As a teenager, I had a friend who you'd agree to meet up at 8 o'clock when truly the rest of your mates were meeting at 9. Okay, and she'd still be late. We all joked about it. It became her identity. Over 20 years later, that's what I firstly remember about her. But we were miffed every time she did it. It's not fun standing around on street corners, especially if you'd rushed to be there on time. You know, hadn't quite got your hair right, but had to make do so as not to be late. Didn't put that final touch to your lippy. Not that Bob would wear lippy, but... Then your mate strolls up 1.5 hours late, looking drop-dead gorgeous, because she'd spent so much time on herself. How does it make you feel? Loved? Cared for? Preferred? No. The message you get is you don't matter. One of the key points I'm getting from the talks on the fruit of the Spirit is the importance of putting one another first, which Paul's already said this morning. It's not a worldly concept. Yeah, look out for number one is the message of the day. So why should we be different? The fruit of the Spirit is having more of God's character. God isn't out for himself. He is utterly faithful. The word faithful means to be reliable, to be trustworthy. It is the one whose character can be relied on. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. He is true to his word. And he wants that characteristic in us because it is in him. So we should do what we said we'd do. If we arrange a time to meet someone, be reliable. In 1989, an earthquake almost flattened Armenia, killing 30,000 people. A dad ran to the local school where his son attended, only to find a pile of rubble. After the initial shock, he remembered the promise that he'd made his son. No matter what, I'll always be there for you. Gets me every time. As he looked at the debris, it looked hopeless. But remembering his commitment to his son, he worked out that roughly his son's class would be at the back right-hand side of the building, and he began to dig through the rubble. As he was digging, other distraught parents began to arrive, and they cried out, "It's too late. They're dead. You can't help. You'll make things worse." To each parent, he asked, "Are you going to help me now?" The police arrived, and they said, "Leave it to the professionals. You're endangering others." To which he replied, "Are you going to help me now?" Courageously, he dug through the rubble for over 36 hours. In the 38th hour, as he pulled back a boulder, he heard his son's voice, and he cried out, "Ahmad!" And his son replied, "Dad, it's me. I told them not to worry. If you were still alive, you'd save me. And if you saved me, they'd be saved too. You promised, Dad, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." The boy let his 14 friends out first because he knew his dad would get him out because he promised no matter what. That boy trusted his dad. He knew he was faithful and he would do what he said he would do if it was at all possible. The good news for us that our Father in heaven is even more faithful. Be faithful in the small things. Do what we say we'll do. If we say I'll phone you or I'll pray for you, do it. Often I come home from work tired and I don't feel like trekking out again to cell group. I don't give it any space to those feelings. If I've committed myself to do something, I'll do it, even if a better offer comes up afterwards. This can cost us at times, you know, maybe at work somebody's offering you 2 free tickets to Wimbledon, but you've got someone coming round for dinner. Then you need to say, sorry, give them to somebody else. We should finish what we begin. With my children, I've always instilled stickability. If they begin a class of their choice, then I insist they see it through to the end. Not wimp out after a few sessions because they don't feel like it anymore. God is wanting us to be trustworthy, not flimsy. These are all traits in our character that we should be asking God to change and work on. But also it's our responsibility to be active in our faith. We need to be more faithful to the church. I sometimes hang around after the church meeting and see the huge amount of work that is done by a small army of people, our unsung heroes. I've been coming to New Life for over 8 years and only recently recognized that so much work, so much help is needed for the Sunday meeting to actually happen. It's an area of my life that there is definitely room for me to grow in faithfulness. God will only entrust us with more when he sees us being obedient to what he's asked. In the parable of the talents, where the master gave various amounts of money to his servants according to their ability, so God has given to us abilities and skills that he wants us to use and develop for the service of God. All too often we bury our talents rather than use and develop them. If we cannot be faithful in the small things, then we cannot be trusted to be faithful when the going gets tough. Knowing God increases our faith. Often the most trying times are those most beneficial to our growth. Out of our experience, we'll have a testimony to tell about what God has done for us. At the beginning of the year, Rob and I had a prophecy that we'd be moving house. So we tested it immediately and put our flat up for sale. We immediately found our perfect house. It was right next door to our non-Christian friends. But so much work needed to be done to it. Our friends, really eager for us to live there, offered to help, which was a huge commitment because it was a huge amount of work. I thought, wonderful. What could be better? I thought it was all clear cut, and I've sussed God's plan for our lives. As we worked together, our mates would get saved. The weekend we sold our flat, we found out we'd been gazumped. Our house had been sold to somebody else. I've been determined to seek God's will right from the start, knowing it is the best, that his plans are to prosper us. As it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." But quite frankly, I was really disappointed and shed a few tears. Rob, on the other hand, was calm and level-headed and berated me. What was the purpose in all of this? To trust God and seek his face. After me demanding at least 5 minutes to grieve, he asked me if I was ready to pray. So we prayed. We then found a wonderful, beautiful, sunny, spacious, airy, lovely house, delightful, that needed no work being done on it. The whole family fell in love with it. God had given me a verse when we first started looking into moving, which I constantly meditated on. When I began to lose God's peace, I would quote it and declare it. It has been the most important tool that has equipped me for the battle I was in. Ephesians 3, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Immeasurably more. It so speaks of God's character, that he is for us and not against us. This house cemented my faith. I loved it. It was so much more than the last. There would be no months or years of hard labor. I knew that even if it wasn't the house for us, that God would give us something even better, immeasurably better, more than I could possibly imagine. No great surprise then that the offer of the asking price didn't get accepted because somebody paid £20,000 over the top for it. God was so gracious. He completely blasted that house out of the water for us. There was no ifs and buts, no maybes. It was definitely, totally not for us. Ordinarily, I would have been devastated, but I fully trusted God. I was amazed at my response. It hasn't been easy. I've had my moments and my tantrums. I had to take a week off from looking to put it back into God's hands and take mine off the steering wheel. Hard in itself when you're a doer and a get-on-with-it person, not to open your post or your emails tempting you with offers, new offers of the perfect house. But I truly believed that God would not let me miss out. When he had the right house for me, then no one would be able to buy it anyway. He would keep it for me. One Saturday, I dragged Rob to over 5 properties in one day. The last one, Rob looked at and said, "Will we give it a miss?" It was a building site with nothing to lure you to love it. I insisted. We prayed that we would see its potential. It was a work in progress. It was a work in progress. No electricity, so you couldn't see the front room at all. Ceilings missing, skirting boards missing, no balustrade. But I loved it. I loved it. I got really enthusiastic and I wanted to buy it there and then. I got the firm look. You are running away with yourself, look. Where is God in all this, look? So we left. That night we prayed, as we had every step of the way, and we decided to leave it in God's hands and to wait. Difficult word for me, wait. But God placed something in me through this whole lengthy business, which enabled me to wait, to trust him, to have faith in him. I still stick my nose in, determinedly push doors, but I am prepared for God's answer because I truly know that he has got the best for me. I know he is faithful because that's what he's been teaching me. After laying down the house on the weekend, on the Monday, I got a phone call from the estate agent offering the house to me. Amazed and slightly fearful that my husband would think I'd been interfering, I quickly rang Rob and declared adamantly, "I never rang them, they rang me." Rob was thrilled. It was our answer to prayer. God had fulfilled his promise, his word that he would do immeasurably more than I asked or imagined. This house is fantastic. Everything's new, from walls to electricity. We can move in straight away, or when it's ready, which is something else we're trusting God for, and have our friends and family in, not to help with hard work, you'll all be thrilled to know, but to be blessed alongside us. My journey with recognizing that we serve a faithful God really stepped up a notch 2 years ago when he healed me. He taught me to hold on and to persevere. Every day I put on the armor of God, and as I lifted up the shield of faith, I would ask God to increase my measure. When circumstances are not looking good, to trust him because he is true to his word. God said to me, "It is finished," after he'd healed me. Believing God is key in all of this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. It creates an irresistible faith that never gives up, that is never daunted. So when we pray, we do so with authority. God is wanting our trust, wanting us to step up to a new level. Wigglesworth said, one word from God can change a nation. That word for me changed my life. Reconstruction happens in the hard times, and we should count it all joy when you encounter various trials. James 1, verse 2. I haven't quite got to that place yet. But when things are tough, I do wait in anticipation, wondering what God is going to change in me through that time. I believed him when he said it is finished, and that he is able to do immeasurably more. Immeasurably. Not just a trickle. I meditated on these words constantly. When I found a situation tough, I went back to God and thanked him for his promises. He says in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, "My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty." God's word is unconditional truth. It's a two-edged sword. We need to take it into our respective battles until he gives us the victory. By doing this, I've noticed a change in myself. I do waver, but God has developed something new in me. Through the tough experiences, God has changed me, not because I'm special, but as we respond, he always meets us. He shows his faithfulness. He is searching for the faithful. Psalm 101, verse 6 says, "My eyes shall be on the faithful in the land, and he shall dwell with me." The more we read and learn God's word, our confidence grows, and we will know how faithful God is. Faithfulness is a fruit that God produces in us. Say to God, "You have to put it in me." God knows the measure of our faith. Knowing that it's a free gift, not something that we have to muster up or produce for ourselves, is such a relief. We can just ask for an increase. God can be relied on. He will never prove unfaithful to those who trust what he has said. True faith is taking God at his word and relying on him to do as he has promised. The thing that keeps us from despairing is not what we see, but it's what we believe, that God is faithful. This produces in us an ability to remain calm and restful in the midst of our trials or seeming disasters. People will see this fruit in us. It can't go unnoticed. They will therefore be able to trust us like we trust God.
Well done, Trudy. I know how much Trudy enjoys preparing these talks. Not. And we should be grateful for the people that have been giving these talks, because they've put in a lot of time and sweat and tears. And I've watched Trudy. Trudy used to work in my business, and she now doesn't. But during that time, a lot of that time, probably most of that time, Trudy was very ill indeed. For those of you that don't know this, it was really life-threatening, wasn't it? And pretty much incurable as far as I could see. The doctors just couldn't find any answer to her blood condition. And I watched Trudy. I watched her cry. I watched her grit her teeth. I watched God's power touch her in the Good News Crusade. I was standing about five five rows behind when Nola Richard asked her to stand up and had a prophecy for her. And I watched God's power touch her in a way I've never seen God's power touch anybody before. To be honest, she looked like a pneumatic drill. It's the only way I could explain it, as God's power just powerfully touched her for several minutes. And then she knew she was healed. And then after that, I watched Trudy as God gave her a sermon. I watched every point of that sermon going into place as he carved it into her life. And then she had to stand on the word when one or two of the symptoms came back to test to whether she really believed God's word, that she knew she was healed. And yet there was some symptoms came back, and then and she took God's word, by his stripes I was healed, and she stood on that word. And he sent his word and completed that healing. And it was a remarkable thing. And when I talk to people who don't know, you know, whether God exists or whatever, I can say, I know this person, and this is what happened to them. And there's we probably all got things in our life that we can say, I know that Jesus is alive because he's done this. But I watched that sermon put into her life, and I knew as that was going on that one day she was going to preach about healing. And she's given a great talk in the church, and she's talked on Alpha about what God did. It's the most fantastic thing. And really, the things that God teaches us, he teaches us on the anvil of life, doesn't he? Now, what I didn't know was that Trudy was also going to be an estate agent. And if I'd been there, she'd been working a little bit longer for me, I would have seen that she would also make a great estate agent. The other thing that that you may be glad to hear is that Rob is doing a talk after Trudy. So it will be Rob's revenge when he talks on self-control. I don't want to take away from anything that Trudy's talked about this morning. She's talked about some very important things. I think particularly the thing of doing what we say is so important. Faithfulness really is doing what we say. Somebody who says something and they do it, that is a faithful person. You know they're a faithful person because you can rely on them. And God is a faithful God because we can rely on his word, which is fantastic. Just a couple of thoughts. First of all, I want to just take up another thing that Trudy said, is that if we really want to grow in God and we really want to serve God and to be used by him, the parable that Trudy mentioned of the faithful steward and the parable of the talents, you know, Jesus said, if you're faithful in the little, you know, you can be trusted with much. And if you feel, I really want to serve God, I want to serve him in practical ways. I want to serve him with responsibility. But God will only give responsibility to responsible people. And so we need to prove him in the little things, that the coffee, the chairs, the greeting people, the doing what we say. And as we do those things and we're faithful in those small things, then God will say, ah, there's somebody I can trust. The Bible shows us that Moses was a person that God regarded as faithful because he could always trust Moses to do what he said. Samuel the prophet, it says he let none of God's words fall to the ground. So if God gives you something to share, you need to share it. Be obedient, and then he'll give you more. The other thing that I just wanted to mention really was for us to point ourselves in the direction of God himself, and that God is utterly, utterly faithful. And after I've just shared this, I think it would be great if we could just worship him and in the presence of the faithful one, just really give him thanks and appreciate him for his utter faithfulness. I know for me he's been very, very faithful in the hardest of times, through very difficult situations. He has never failed me. He is so faithful. And it's his word that I really appreciate. I know. I love the Bible because I've had to use it so many times and trust in that word. And God's always come good. This is what Moses asked God to reveal himself to Moses. And this is what God says, "The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'Jehovah, Jehovah God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness.'" "Know therefore," Moses said, "that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments." Just before Moses died, he wrote a song. It's called the Song of Moses. And you find it when he wrote it and also in one of the Psalms. And this is the Song of Moses. It says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Then he said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness." So we are tarred with unfaithfulness, and God is the faithful one. And the good news for us today is that when we are faithless, the Bible said, God is faithful, because he cannot deny himself, and he can be completely relied on. Let's worship him. Men, can we?